Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 15, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Bitcoin drops to $10,000 in worst daily loss in a month. Crypto price betting game Moonrekt now allows Bitcoin wagers. Malaysia's electric utility says Bitcoin miners stole $25 million in power. Moscow to develop a blockchain system for transparent city services. Crypto miner company CoinMine scores $2.5 million in seed round. $3 billion Ponzi scheme is now allegedly dumping Bitcoin by the hundreds. Santander denies reports of blocking Coinbase deposits in the UK. Bitcoin slips in tandem with US stocks, still a safe haven? $9,650, Bitcoin price dips below key long-term support. Crypto lenders have earned just 2% on $4.7 billion in loans, report. Bitcoin's impact on the environment is largely fiction, claims prominent energy specialist. Bitcoin's surging dominance is this time really different? Now let's get started. Bitcoin drops to $10,000 in worst daily loss in a month. The cryptocurrency markets were flashing red again on Thursday after Bitcoin, BTC, the world's largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, fell by more than $900 in 24 hours. On August 14, beginning at 12 o'clock Coordinated Universal Time, BTC began to fall sharply from $10,862 to as low as $9,888 before traders bought the price back up above $10,000. It marks the worst single-day loss since July 16, approximately 30 days ago. However, BTC's price has successfully defended a sub-$10,000 close on yesterday's trading period and is currently changing hands at $10,084. The move down was also accompanied by a large surge in total trading volume, rising $13.5 billion over a 24-hour period as investors and traders rushed to close their positions in order to stem the bleeding. Major names such as Ether, ETH, Litecoin, LTC, XRP, XRP, and EOS, EOS also began to fall in value at around the same time as BTC, losing between 8-12% respectively. Further, the total market capitalization of all cryptocurrencies combined endured a $20 billion loss over 24 hours with a total valuation of $265.8 billion by the time the dust had settled. The short-term outlook remains a volatile one, so BTC could experience a bounce on today's momentum, but that will need to be accompanied by strong levels in growing, bullish, volume in order to end the recent sell-off still being felt from August 10. Crypto price betting game Moonrekt now allows Bitcoin wagers. HXRO, the startup behind the crypto-denominated game of skill, chance, and social engineering Moonrekt announced that players will be able to wager bets in Bitcoin. From 600 early-stage users, Moonrekt has grown to more than 37,000 registered players, albeit if some were enticed with free HXRO tokens native to the platform. The game initially allowed users to bet HXRO, worth about 5 cents, on whether Bitcoin's price will rise or fall within a 5-minute window. Though the game is steeped in crypto's ironic swagger, referring to price swings as moon or REKT, the stakes are real. Now, players will be able to bet the far more valuable cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. As professional traders, we want to create a platform that mimicked the high-energy experience in the pits of the largest global derivatives exchanges, said Rob Levy, HXRO's president and co-founder. Up the ante. Our goal is to eventually become the preeminent alternative venue for playing cryptocurrencies, and we expect to add additional token protocols as demand for them reaches a critical mass, said HXRO CEO Dan Guntzberg, in a statement. The team also plans to launch a game that simulates portfolio construction, called MUHBAGS. A company representative said, players will compete against one another as fantasy traders to see who can build the best portfolio. Additionally, according to a statement, the company plans on expanding the number of bonuses and rewards on offer, which will be a boon to users of HXRO tokens. For now, however, the company will continue to take a flat 3% from the pot on both the HXRO and BTC versions of Moonrect. Malaysia's electric utility says Bitcoin miners stole $25 million in power. Malaysian power utility firm Tenaga Nasional BHD, TNB, is tightening measures in a bid to stem the millions lost to electricity theft by Bitcoin, BTC, miners. According to an August 15 report from EdgeProp, tampered electricity distribution boards used in local Bitcoin mining operations have cost TNBRM $106 million, $25.3 million, as of June 2019. There have been 437 cases of mining-related power theft in Peninsular Malaysia over this time period, 370 of which were recorded in the state of Selangor. Up to 3 years imprisonment. TNB is the sole electricity utility firm in Peninsular Malaysia and also the largest publicly listed power company in Southeast Asia, with RM 99.03 billion, $23.6 billion, in assets. According to TNB Metering, Distributing Network General Manager City Sarah Joanna Mode said, the firm will take legal action against account holders which affects premise owners even in cases where the theft has been perpetrated by their tenants. A letter of demand will be issued to the owner of the premises account after we disconnected the electricity supply. Under Section 37 of Malaysia's Electricity Supply Act, those charged with power theft face a maximum penalty of RM 100,000, $24,000, or 3 years imprisonment. The firm is limited in its actions to being allowed to disconnect power supply for a maximum of 3 months. It can, however, file claims for payments owed dating back as far as 5 years. In a bid to protect premise owners, TNB has recommended they temporarily transfer their TNB to their tenant's name. Recent raids on power thieves. As reported earlier this month, Malaysian authorities raided 33 premises related to Bitcoin mining after detecting they were stealing power at a cost to the firm of RM 3.2 million, $761,000. While Malaysia permits Bitcoin mining and trading with no restrictions, the country's central bank has issued a statement that Bitcoin is not considered to be legal tender and that users are poorly protected from fraudulent schemes and operational risks. This summer, reports emerged that police in China had reportedly gathered evidence of people laying cables via fish ponds to steal oil well power to fuel their Bitcoin mining. In February, a group of suspects were arrested in the German city of Klingenthal, Saxony, after being accused of stealing over $3 million worth of electricity to operate a cryptocurrency mining farm. Moscow to develop a blockchain system for transparent city services. Russia's capital is looking for a contractor to build a blockchain system to host the city's administrative services. Open Media reports that Moscow's Information Technologies Department has announced an auction to build an Ethereum-based system that will host the electronic services now offered to Muscovites. The estimated cost of development is stated as 57 million Russian rubles, or around $860,000. The list of services to be hosted on the platform includes issuance of documents relating to property owners and residents, and allocation of slots at the city's farmers' markets. The system is to be based on proof of authority consensus and have a maximum capacity of 1.5 million simultaneous viewers. Building the platform is expected to take 60 days once the contractor has been chosen and the agreement signed, according to the terms. The IT department said it aims to increase public confidence in Moscow's electronic services by boosting transparency using blockchain. The platform is also to be integrated with other blockchain experiments currently undertaken by the Moscow city government, including a voting platform dubbed Active Citizen that lets Moscow residents express preferences on matters such as locations for new bike paths and street decoration, or rating city events. The city has been testing Active Citizen since 2017. There's also a plan to allow a number of districts to vote electronically during this autumn city legislature elections, also using blockchain tech, according to an official announcement. The option will be available to approximately 6% of voters. Another trial, a system for assigning spots at the city's farmers market on the Ethereum blockchain, was launched in 2018, CoinDesk reported at the time. Over 2,700 trading stands during the April to November market season are normally up for grabs, but about 20,000 people usually bid. Crypto miner company CoinMine scores $2.5 million in seed round. CoinMine, the producers of crypto mining hardware and software, announced a $2.5 million seed round of financing. Led by Los Angeles-based M13 Ventures, Republic Labs, Gumi Crypto and early Uber investor Shervin Peshevar contributed funding, according to a statement made August 15. According to a company representative, the financing comes amid a period of 50% growth month over month since April. Additionally, according to internal metrics, nearly 10% of customers become repeat purchasers, and fewer than 4% of CoinMine One mining devices are returned. We could be cash positive if we wanted to, the representative said. Instead, the company looks to reinvest its earnings and employ the seed financing to build out its business. The company plans to hire engineers with the capital. This team will build new features and expand the option to mine more cryptocurrencies for the hobbyist-level miner. His latest round of financing will help us accelerate our mission of getting more people to experience how easy it is to earn Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, said CEO Farbod Nivi. Indeed, Nivi said the product is built to be an entryway to crypto. The machine is operable from Android and iOS mobile apps and updates over the air automatically, like a Tesla. The company also reports the machine's energy consumption dropped 30%. In addition to Bitcoin, the machine also mines energy-efficient coins like Monero, Zcash, Grin and Ethereum. In June, the company announced a partnership with Compound Finance, Cred, and BlockFi allow users to earn a return on their mined crypto. For their part, Latif Paracha of M13 Ventures said, "At M13, we are focused on investing into new consumer behavior models and CoinMine's product helps consumers realize new methods to generate assets and participate in this exciting new market." $3 billion Ponzi scheme is now allegedly dumping Bitcoin by the hundreds. Amid a downturn in the cryptocurrency markets, the apparent swath of Bitcoin sell-offs from a $3 billion Chinese Ponzi scheme could be to blame. On August 14, Devay Wan, founding partner of blockchain-based investment company Primitive Ventures, called attention to the ongoing mass sell-offs from the fraudulent Chinese investment scheme, dubbed PlusToken. 10 million investors scammed of $3 billion. As Wan outlines, PlusToken was created in mid-2018 and promised high-yield investment returns at different rebate percentages to its four tiers of member, a classic Ponzi scheme structure. By early 2019, the project claimed to have over 10 million members. Wan has attached data on all the wallet addresses including Bitcoin, BTC, Ether, ETH, and EOS known to be associated with PlusToken and urgently called on exchanges and over-the-counter platforms to blacklist them. She notes that Chinese police hunted down a core team member of the scheme 2 months ago and have revealed that investors were scammed of a whopping $3 billion. Alongside the addresses, Wan has attached investigative data from security audit firm PeckShield that reveals the money flow from PlusToken's wallet as of early July, the date the sell-offs are thought to have begun. Incessant sell-offs. Despite the arrest, the cryptocurrency cannot reportedly be rolled back, as Wan explains. Many of their BTC addresses are started with P2SH, which commonly used for mutual SIG, most likely some PPL who hold the keys are not being caught, hence police can't unlock the wallet. For EOS, ETH wallet can be diff case, but so far police was not able to touch any of those. In an attempt to curb the impact of the sell-offs, she has recommended that PeckShield and blockchain analytics firm Chainalysis analyze the flows more closely, noting that PlusToken appears to be moving their funds in small batches of 50 to 100 BTC into exchanges. Chinese traders have reportedly claimed that an unknown address has in recent days been dumping 100 BTC incessantly on crypto exchange Binance, which Wan suspects to be connected to the scheme. As just reported, the PlusToken scheme was identified as being the largest single incident of loss in a recent summary of 2019 crypto-related theft from blockchain security firm CipherTrace, having purportedly defrauded investors of $2.9 billion. Santander denies reports of blocking Coinbase deposits in the UK. Santander, we do not block payments to any legitimate company. Some online users have accused major Spanish bank Santander of blocking United Kingdom customers from depositing their fiat funds to major cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase. An unverified source posting to Reddit on August 14 claims to have been informed of the development over the phone by a Santander representative. However, a Santander UK spokesperson told Cointelegraph that the bank has not blocked payments to Coinbase. He explained, "We do not block payments to any legitimate company, however in certain circumstances we will refer payments for additional security checks, where we believe there may be a higher risk of fraud. Isolated to Coinbase, not crypto in general." The source alleges that having been informed over the phone, they put in a complaint with the bank's complaints unit, which then reportedly confirmed that the client should move to an alternative bank if they wish to make the payment. The complaints unit reportedly revealed that the restriction was likely due to the bank's attempts to tackle an apparent increase in Coinbase-related fraud. The post has sparked over 100 comments to Press Time, with at least three fellow Redditors noting they have not experienced restrictions using Santander with their Coinbase accounts. At least one of these respondents self-identified as a United States resident, while the others did not reveal their jurisdictions. A further commentator noted that Santander has allegedly blocked withdrawals from Bitstamp in Portugal and Spain. In a follow-up comment, the original poster noted that the measures could be temporary until Coinbase improves their fraud prevention, noting that Santander had indicated that this was isolated to Coinbase and not cryptocurrency in general. Barclays allegedly severs ties with Coinbase. The apparent actions of Santander in the UK follow fresh reports that British banking giant Barclays has cut its own ties with Coinbase. The bank had notably been providing Coinbase users with access to the UK's faster payments scheme and Smooth GBP exchange as of March of last year. News of the severed ties remains officially unconfirmed, as does the claim that Coinbase will continue its access to UK banking through ClearBank, a younger and less established institution. Bitcoin slips in tandem with U.S. stocks, still a safe haven. Bitcoin fell by as much as 5.54% on Wednesday after bond markets warned the possibility of a recession is growing. The BTC, USD instrument today established a new local swing low of $9,470 on San Francisco-based Coinbase Exchange. The downside price action brought the pair's week-to-date losses to circa 18%. It nevertheless attempted a small recovery above the $10,000, a psychological resistance level during an uptrend, and succeeded. As of 11:25 Coordinated Universal Time, the BTC USD instrument was trading at $10,075. Bad day for U.S. stocks. Bitcoin's intraday action followed a disappointing day on Wall Street. The S&P 500 index closed the session down 2.9%, with energy stocks leading the fall. At the same time, tech-heavy Nasdaq also ended after slipping circa 3% on the day. It was a bad day for treasuries as well. Both the US and UK 10-year government bond yields plunged below the yields of shorter maturity debt. It happened for the first time since the 2008-09 economic crisis. Their relationship getting inversed rang the bells of a recession. Meanwhile, gold prices edged lower slightly on technical grounds. The yellow metal was on a steep rise this week, rising 1% in the previous session. The move visibly prompted traders to take near-term profits at new highs. As a result, spot gold was down 0.08% at $1,515 per ounce as of 11:36 Coordinated Universal Time today. Doubts cast over Bitcoin safe haven status. Trend conflict between Bitcoin and U.S. stocks prompted analysts to question the former's safe haven status. Noted economist Alex Kerje pointed today that Bitcoin was neither moving in tandem with gold, a haven asset with which it tries to compete, nor was providing any hedging solution to investors suffering in the U.S. stock and bond markets. Confirmation bias is the tendency to interpret new evidence as confirmation of one's existing beliefs, he added. Stories that suit one's bias and generate a warm fuzzy feeling are generally welcome. Facts? Nobody cares about those. Peter Schiff, chief executive officer at Connecticut-based broker-dealer Euro Pacific Capital, criticized Bitcoin for collapsing in the same market environment that promised to catalyze its rise. If Bitcoin can't make a new high with global equity and currency markets in turmoil, under what circumstance will it make a new high? Tweeted Schiff. So many Bitcoin hodlers are convinced that Bitcoin is going to the moon that they're afraid to sell any for fear of missing out on huge gains, yet the price of Bitcoin is plunging anyway. Imagine how much faster the price of Bitcoin will fall once that greed turns to fear. $9,650, Bitcoin price dips below key long-term support. View Bitcoin has dipped beneath the 100-day moving average, potentially opening the doors to support near $8,500 if the bulls can't keep prices above the MA. Total weekly volume for the bears is lower than expected, offering a small hope for a bullish rebound. Price would need a firm close above the 100-day MA in hopes of cementing a higher low relative to July 28's dip low. Bitcoin, BTC, continues to tumble from temporary support levels at $10,000 after enduring its worst single-day loss in a month. At 6:15 Coordinated Universal Time, BTC's price pierced the 100-day moving average (MA) at $9,653, triggering a flurry of sell orders as the mid-term trend switched from bullish to bearish. The world's largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization has since recovered slightly and at time of writing is changing hands at $9,800 on Bitstamp, representing a 2.4% loss on the day. Bearish market sentiment echoed throughout the world today as the international stock markets fell across the board with the S&P 500 down 2.9%, while the FTSE 100 in the UK dropped by 1.42%. That would seem to dispel the notion that BTC acts as a safe haven asset, offering certainty during darker economic time. Regardless, the onus is now heavily on the bulls to regain a foothold back above the 100-day MA on the daily chart or risk further downside. As can be viewed above, the symmetrical triangle breakdown is well underway after BTC's price temporarily stalled along the 100-day MA at $9,652. The bearish move is being supported by a histogram tick down on the Awesome Oscillator (AU) on the daily chart as it heads toward the neutral zero line, while the RSI fell bearish below 50 on August 13. A failure by the bulls to close back above the key long-term moving average will undoubtedly spur further bearish pressure exposing lower weekly supports. A Fibonacci retracement drawn from 2018's peak low at $3,122 to 2019's peak high at $13,880 shows $8,501 to be the most likely landing zone in the coming week should its price close beneath the 100-day MA and July 22's prior bearish weekly close at $9,533. Total weekly volume may offer some hope for the bulls as it's currently tracking worse than July 22's levels when the price of BTC rebounded from a low of $9,111 to a high of $11,085 as a result of weakening bearish momentum. Falling price alongside limited volume usually points toward bear exhaustion, and may offer up a reversal and a new higher low above July 22's dip low. That outlook will be determined by the end of the weekly closing period on August 18. Crypto lenders have earned just 2% on $4.7 billion in loans, report. A lot of loans have been made in crypto, but lenders have not reaped a lot of profit. That's the big takeaway from a new report by Graychain, a startup looking to bring credit assessment to the crypto space. The startup released its first report on the collateralized crypto lending industry Thursday, estimating that $4.7 billion has been lent out over the history of the sector, but only $86 million has been earned back in interest. That's a 1.8% return, despite the fact that loans typically cost borrowers 6 to 10% on an annual basis. Generally, these companies that are doing really huge originations are originating really short-term loans, Neil Zumwalt, Graychain's chief technical officer, told CoinDesk in a phone call. In other words, it's easy to make the lending sector look stronger than it is by solely looking at originations. A loan can be quickly opened and closed and earn the lender very little because there is not enough time for any interest to accrue. Graychain was able to accumulate part of its data from public chains where everything is in the open, including MakerDAO, Compound, DYDX and Nuo. But the report notes that 65% of the originations have been on Celsius and Genesis, which are private, and less prone to share full information about their businesses. So Greychain offered the following note of caution in its report. A good proxy for the industry's health is the amount of interest collected. We have estimated this number. We calculated the rate at which many of these loans are liquidated or matured, and applied the average interest rate for each platform. Greychain was also able to get some private data from Dharma, Maker, Compound and Unchained Capital. There has also been information shared in marketing materials and public statements by those who did not participate, allowing Greychain to make a better estimate. Greychain intends to continue to issue this report every quarter. Sector growing fast. While the report suggests that the crypto lending industry has not been extremely lucrative thus far, in aggregate, it does show that there is a strong demand for the business. The lending industry is maturing really, really quickly in this space, Zumwalt said. These markets are becoming more mature and people are trusting it more with their assets. A few examples of growth from the report. In the first quarter, Greychain found 5,462 new loans. In the second quarter, there were 18,562 new loans. Those loans in the first quarter amounted to $64.8 million. In the second quarter, that figure grew to $159.3 million. The second-ranked public protocol, Compound, started the year with $13 million locked in the protocol and broke $100 million in early August. That said, the bulk of borrowing has been made by private lenders, which generally offer the better percentage rates. While these companies dominate the sector, they seem to have a very high turnover. For example, it's likely that many of these short-term loans from private lenders such as Celsius reflect speculative activity. Traders borrow to avoid triggering a taxable event, then make a bet on a token, let it play out and pay off the loan as soon as the short-term bet has played out. As the report notes, from our quarterly analysis, you can see the number of loans originated grew faster than the new addresses and the total origination amount. That means that people are making more small loans, rather than borrowing millions at a time. Bitcoin's impact on the environment is largely fiction, claims prominent energy specialist. Bitcoin uses more electricity annually than Czechia, according to the latest estimates from the University of Cambridge. While Bitcoin is leading the charge to democratize money, there is no escaping its power-hungry reputation. And the current research from the Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance, CCAF, does nothing to dispel concerns over its environmental impact. Bitcoin uses more electricity than Czechia. The Cambridge Bitcoin Electricity Consumption Index, CBECI, provides real-time data on the energy consumption of the Bitcoin network. The model borrows from the methodology of Mark Bevend. He uses pessimistic upper and optimistic lower assumptions, based on the least to most efficient ASIC machinery. While precise electricity consumption cannot be determined, the CBECI does provide a range of possibilities within a lower bound and an upper bound estimate. Within this range is a best guess estimate. Researchers calculate this to account for an assumption that miners will use a range of hardware. Thus, giving a more rational figure of Bitcoin's actual annual electricity consumption, as things stand, the best guess estimate shows Bitcoin uses 63.95 terawatt-hours a year. Which, when compared to the CIA's World Factbook data on the energy consumption of countries, provides the comparison. Estimates are imperfect. Many would recoil in horror over these numbers, and the environmental impact inferred. However, the cryptocurrency and blockchain lead at the CCAF, Michel Rochs, doesn't aim to shock. Speaking to the BBC, he said, "We want to use comparisons that set the narrative. Visitors to the website can make up their own mind as to whether it seems large or small, and while there is no denying the ravenous appetite Bitcoin has for electricity, some point out that such calculations are only estimates." To which the CCAF themselves admit, are imperfect. In a blog post on the CBECI website, an anonymous poster wrote, "Reliable estimates of Bitcoin's electricity usage are rare. In most cases, they only provide a one-time snapshot and the numbers often show substantial discrepancies from one model to another. Is Bitcoin's environmental impact exaggerated?" Not only that, but doubts also exist on the environmental impact purported by critics of Bitcoin. The consensus holds that electricity that powers the Bitcoin network mostly comes from fossil fuels burnt in inefficient Chinese coal-fired power stations, to which, a recent report from the research journal, Joule claimed that the carbon footprint of Bitcoin exceeds that of small nations. A snippet from their paper reads, "An estimate that annual carbon emissions range from 22.0 to 22.9 mtCO2. This means that the emissions produced by Bitcoin sit between the levels produced by the nations of Jordan and Sri Lanka, which is comparable to the level of Kansas City." However, Robert Sherratt, a former employee of the Natural Resources and Power Group, who has extensive experience in the UK and Chinese energy sectors, pours cold water on these claims. In his post on HackerNoon, Sherratt pokes holes in the assumptions that make up the arguments against Bitcoin. More specifically, he points to the lack of evidence surrounding claim that Bitcoin mostly runs on coal-fired power stations in China. Based on Sherratt's work, he noted that Chinese Bitcoin miners are in fact found close to hydroelectric sources. He said, "I recently spoke several times and at length to former power industry colleagues in Hong Kong. Their estimate is that more than 80% of all Chinese miners are located in Sichuan province. The vast majority of power produced in Sichuan is from hydropower. Proof of work is not perfect." With this in mind, Sherratt admits that POW systems are not perfect, but then again, what Bitcoin is trying to achieve, in providing an alternative financial system, is worthy of the energy impact it does have. To which, his closing words had an air of poignancy. It read, "At its heart, it is honest money and a force for good in the world. To those of you in the community, hold your head high when questioned about crypto's environmental impact." Bitcoin's surging dominance is this time really different? Noel Acheson is a veteran of company analysis and CoinDesk's director of research. The opinions expressed in this article are the author's own. The following article originally appeared in Institutional Crypto by CoinDesk, a free weekly newsletter focused on crypto assets. Sign up here. Everything flourishes with a bit of attention, even attention itself. You may have heard some rumblings recently about the Bitcoin dominance rate. This measures the weight of Bitcoin in the crypto universe by taking its market cap as a percentage of the total market cap for all crypto assets. Traders and investors keep an eye on it as an indicator of market preference. It should surprise no one that Bitcoin is the dominant crypto asset, given its long track record and mainstream media attention. What is setting off alarms is its recent ascent. It is now hovering around 70%, a level not seen since April 2017, just before the previous bull market took off. Some speculate that this means another bull run is imminent, one that will push Bitcoin's dominance to above 90% and effectively kill off any alternative crypto assets' hopes of capturing significant market share. Others see it as a sign that alternative crypto assets are on the verge of a recovery as investors pivot in search of outperformance. As with any data point, there is much open to interpretation. Chart analysis aside, market metrics are rarely useful in isolation, and to get a feel for what the Bitcoin dominance rate is telling us, we need a deeper understanding of what it represents and why a rising number is not necessarily good news. So what? Why is the Bitcoin dominance rate worth paying attention to? Surely everyone knows Bitcoin is the leader? Because it's a relative measure that points to preference, conviction, and momentum. Price measures Bitcoin's popularity. Dominance measures its popularity relative to other crypto assets. In theory, this could mean a flight to quality as investors get spooked by market risk and switch out of smaller cap tokens into a safer asset. Or, it could represent growing interest in the sector as a whole, along with conviction that Bitcoin has the strongest fundamentals. Either way, it highlights that, of all crypto assets, Bitcoin is the most attractive from an investor's viewpoint. It's important to note that dominance can increase as the price goes down, and decrease as the price goes up. It's a relative, not absolute, measure. This matters for several reasons, one of which is what it says about market sentiment. While Bitcoin is a speculative asset, it can be considered less speculative than smaller cap tokens, given its relative liquidity, history, and network size. Its growing dominance points to a focus on fundamentals and on relative safety, which depicts a more grounded level of investor participation than in the ICO-fueled boom of 2017. While not necessarily predictive, sentiment indicators tend to be recursive. You can't be sure the trend will continue, let alone with what energy, but positive sentiment generally has inbuilt inertia. If traders choose to buy based on these indicators, they reinforce them, which encourages more traders to buy, and so on. Another important consequence is market confidence, especially at the early stages of institutional involvement. Large traditional funds are not, on the whole, particularly concerned with the relative merits of one token versus another. They are more likely to be evaluating whether to invest in crypto or some other speculative asset class as part of their portfolio diversification. For most, if they choose to invest in the sector, Bitcoin is the only viable option. It's the only one that 1. Has sufficient liquidity to absorb a small to medium-sized allocation, 2. Has a lively derivatives market, 3. Can count on a wide range of on-ramps, and 4. Is definitely not an unregistered security in most jurisdictions. The protagonist role of Bitcoin is likely to increase the confidence of traditional investors in the sector overall, burnishing its reputation and making their decision easier. In the absence of concrete valuations, difficult with Bitcoin using traditional methods, since it has no cash flows, sentiment is usually as good a market indicator as any. Now what? No trend continues forever, though. Previous run-ups in the dominance factor have been met with a correction as investor attention pivots and new alternatives come into play. In spite of momentum, in virtually all asset classes there comes a reckoning, in which market leaders become overvalued relative to the runners-up, and knowledgeable investors take profits in order to reinvest in more attractive opportunities. But this is unlikely to happen in the short term, even though the last bull market saw Bitcoin's dominance drop from over 85% to below 40%. This time it is different. Why? Last time the latter stage of the bull market was largely driven by the hyped potential of initial coin offerings, many of which promised revolution and riches based on marketing documents masquerading as white papers. The retail market poured into speculative tokens, which ramped up their value relative to the more boring Bitcoin at one stage. It looked like Ether was going to push Bitcoin off its market leader pedestal. Recent market activity, however, has felt much more subdued, in spite of occasional shenanigans, largely due to increased regulatory scrutiny. The sobering up of the bear market, during which lawmakers and enforcers got to grips with the potential and threat of this new asset class, entrenched more rigorous standards for token issuers, promoters and investors. Many of the tokens issued in 2017 are now defunct, and while other interesting opportunities have emerged, the flow is more careful and calculated. What's more, the expected role of institutional investors in the next bull run, with their focus on Bitcoin as the representative crypto asset, is likely to push Bitcoin's dominance up even further. Then what? What will it take for that to change? All trends do eventually tire, to be replaced by new, more energetic ones. The same will happen with Bitcoin. Once Bitcoin investment by institutions is not such a novelty, and once deeper liquidity has dampened volatility, aggressive managers eager to beat their peers' performance are going to start thinking about where to find alpha. That's when they start to look at other assets. They may rotate out of Bitcoin into more overlooked alternatives, or they may put in fresh money. Either way, the relative weighting of other crypto assets will increase. This is unlikely to happen anytime soon, though. Institutional involvement is just getting started and has a long way to run. Current currency turmoil and macro uncertainty may accelerate this, but a more likely scenario is that the bulk of institutional money, which tends to be relatively conservative, will wait for signs of further momentum before risking their reputations and returns. The risk? Meanwhile, growing Bitcoin dominance presents a risk we should not overlook, that Bitcoin becomes firmly entrenched as the go-to crypto asset for the bulk of crypto investment, to the extent that it smothers interest in other ideas. This would not be good for the sector, for two main reasons. 1. It would suck funding out of other areas of the market and stifle development of blockchain applications. Blockchain technology's potential goes beyond Bitcoin. It presents the opportunity to rethink how business models work, how assets can be valued, and how income and capital can be distributed in a more decentralized economy. Other crypto assets are manifestations of this potential, and should be able to approach the market for funding and validation. 2. Concentration is a sign of an immature asset class. Imagine an emerging stock market in which one company accounts for 80% of the country's market valuation. A diversified category will be more resilient, flexible, and powerful, as internal connections and synergies empower a profitable irrigation of resources. We are entering a phase where more attention will be paid to the dominance metric, which is likely to continue creeping up for some time. Some analysts are suggesting alternative calculations, taking out fake volumes and even stablecoins, since they are not seen as a competing investment vehicle. A readjusted figure could be as high as 90%. Could we get to a tipping point beyond which diverting attention from Bitcoin will be extremely difficult? It's possible, but unlikely. People generally want to differentiate themselves from others. That also applies to their investment portfolios. Not only will investments in not-so-high-profile tokens better reflect retail investors' personal preferences, but professional competition will also encourage crypto diversification in a search for outperformance. Bitcoin's dominance will probably continue to be unassailable for at least a few more cycles, though, and the inflow of funds, even if concentrated, will help the market infrastructure continue to mature. But, in the end, creativity and innovation always find a way to manifest. Meanwhile, we should celebrate that Bitcoin has not only survived but thrived. Its growing dominance and rising liquidity are signs that a greater number of investors believe in its potential. However, as exciting as that may be, it's not the only thing going on. As investors, we also need to keep an eye on what's happening out of the limelight. From there will emerge the interesting opportunities of tomorrow. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.